Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Today is part two of my two-part interview with Will Connect. He's the chairman of a multi-million dollar company called Wendell August in Grove City, Pennsylvania, who's America's oldest and largest metal crafter and produces basically American-made awards, gifts, and commemoratives. If you've given anything of these things away in your business, you probably ordered from them. But he's been sharing with us how God's plan is different than man's plans, and he shares how God's definition of success is definitely different than man's, how man defines success. And he had the largest order ever received by his company, and 2 days later, the entire business burned down. And he had questions. He had questions for God, but he trusted God, and God gave him the workaround, and today they're even bigger and better than ever. And so we've been talking about the challenges that he faced and how he trusted in God to get him through. So that's where we're going to pick up the conversation. Here is Will Connect.
You know, you mentioned, and boy, what a word picture for me, just even in the challenges. When I was going through the professional challenges, I went through a divorce because I lost the heart of my wife because I was so focused on business.
Yeah, I found
myself, as you said, you know, in these personal and professional struggles, I found myself at times in the fetal position, just as you said in the intro. Mm. Why, Lord, why are you doing this to me? Again, I'm a believer.
Yep.
And if you looked at my Christian resume with italics around those two words, I look good as well. Active in my church at the time, leading a ministry as chairman of the board. I looked good, serving at my church.
Amen.
But then when the difficult times came, I began to ask, why? Why me? I don't deserve this, Lord. Why me? And there was a great friend of mine who, you know, I can remember as clear as day. Over a period, I'm tearfully, sharing with him what I'm going through, and he was the 2x4. His name is Clint Horsley. He was the 2x4 that I needed to refocus. And he said one thing that I'll never forget: "Will, stop asking why. God knows why, and that's all that matters. Yeah. Ask him what. What is he trying to teach you?" And so, Bob, that moment, it was like a lightning bulb went off for me.
Mm-hmm.
And again, imperfectly, I still struggle. Again, I still struggle and wrestle with pride, and I still struggle with despair at times. You know, I haven't arrived. Mm-hmm. But that question has changed my perspective. So when I'm in difficult times, I can now ask, Lord, what are you showing me? How do you want me to change to be more the man you desire me to be? That fundamental change, not asking why, but asking what, has made all the difference for me in the world. And again, outwardly, I don't have an eight-figure net worth today. But guess what? Inwardly, my net worth and my relationship with the Lord has radically improved and changed. And I can say that, you know, I'm a different guy than I was. And I am so thankful. I wouldn't wish all this adversity on my worst enemy, but I, you know, looking back, I can say, God, I see your purpose. Thank you that you walked with me and loved me through it because you cared about my heart.
Yeah. Amen.
And, boy, what a difference. So,
you know, you talked about how, pride starts to take hold when you see everything that the Lord was building through you. When we started the radio station, you know, and it started growing in popularity and you know, I was being invited to come speak and talk about the radio station and what we're doing and all those things. One day I said, Lord, why me? Why did you pick me to do this? And yeah, Jesus has such a sense of humor. I mean, he could be, you know, the number two guy on like Abbott and Costello. He could be Abbott. you know, because the straight guy, he has a way of putting you in your place without really putting you in your place, you know. And when I prayed that,
absolutely,
like, why me? Why did you pick me to do this? And the response that I got was, you weren't my first choice. You were just the first one to obey, you know. And then I was like, what? I wasn't your first choice? Wow. You know? But then I realized he had told somebody else to do what we're doing, but they let it go. They didn't obey.
Wow.
You know? And that taught me, when God says do this and you don't do it when he tells you to do it, how he tells you to, he'll find somebody else who will. You know,
yeah,
who knows, amen. You know, what the other person gave up because of disobeying God, you know? And so I can relate to everything you were just saying. You know, how do you relate everything you just shared to Paul's journey in Philippians 3:12-14?
Oh my goodness. You know, at the end of the day, this is a journey, right? I mean, it is an absolute journey that we are on. And, you know, part of me takes heart in Romans 7, where, you know, Paul wrestles with sin.
Yep.
And, you know, and he says at the end, what a wretched man I am. Who can save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus. The apostle Paul struggled and wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
To me, that you know, okay, thank you, Lord, for that reminder. But Paul was on a journey, and he shares it. He confessed, he repented when he sinned, but he moved forward knowing that God had called him to preach the gospel clearly to the Gentiles. And so he moved forward on the call that God had for his life. And for me, that's a reminder. You know what? I am going to seek him. I am going to take two steps forward, and sometimes I'll take a step and a half back, but I want to move forward in my relationship. I want to move forward in my intimacy, my love, my obedience to Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to move forward. And so I mess up. I sin. I get prideful. I get anxious. You know, it just, I get angry. Right. I get hurt. You know, all these things that are the natural man, they still come out of me. But I think what God has shown me, and it's exhibited in Philippians 3:12-14, that although I mess up and I sin, my recovery time, in other words, I believe, and again, I'm not perfect at this, but I believe I am faster to repent, to confess and repent, and I am faster to get back on the path that God has for me than I was a year ago, 5 years ago, or 10 years ago. And it's through this adversity and through these challenges and through this teaching that God has given me to say, you know what? You're not perfect, but you have all you need in me. And when you do mess up, that's the cross. That's the resurrection victory I've given you. Live in that. I was meeting with a man this morning, about a half hour before you and I got together on the call. And as he was sharing with me, he is burdened by sin of the past. Mm-hmm. And I said to my friend, I said, have you repented? Have you confessed and repented of that sin? And he said, yes. And I said, let's remember the words in Psalm 103 that when we confess and repent, God sees our sin as far apart as the east is from the west.
Yep. Amen.
And we can't be, you know, the enemy wants us to be burdened by our past and by stuff that God has wiped away as far as the east is from the west, because the enemy wants us to stop us from completing the mission and walking the path that God has for each of us as men and as women in this world. And anything he can do, including guilt from past sin, he'll throw at us.
Yeah.
But we're victorious, Bob. He has won the victory.
Yeah,
let's live in that.
Yeah, you know, I'm reminded, as you're sharing that, I'm reminded of a story I heard. This, you know, and some of the, especially the churches in the 70s and stuff, where at the end of the sermon, the pastor would walk to the back and shake everybody's hand as they left the sanctuary. Well, one day, this little 5-year-old kid named Joey comes up, and, you know, the pastor's shaking everybody's hands or leaving. He tugs on the pastor's robe. And he says, yes, Joey, what is it? He goes, I spoke to Jesus. He goes, oh, that's nice. That's good. You know, I'm glad. He goes, yep, I talked to Jesus. I go, okay, that's nice. We'll see you later. Next Sunday, same thing. I've been talking to Jesus. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Go move on.
about the third or fourth time he did this, he tugs on the robe and says, I talked to Jesus. He goes, okay, Joey, if you're talking to Jesus, tell you what, I did something really bad a long time ago. Ask Jesus what it was next time you talk to him. Well, the next Sunday, Joey comes up, tugs on the robe again, and he goes, hi, Joey. He goes, hi, I talked to Jesus again. He goes, did you ask him what I told you? He goes, yep. What did Jesus tell you I did? He says, for me to tell you that he forgot. That story has always stuck with me, that, you know, when you confess it, Jesus forgets about it.
You know? Absolutely. And that's why he went to the cross for you and me.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
Amen. And we forget about that. And the devil wants us to forget that.
Yep.
He wants us to be, again, wrapped up in our past and ineffective moving forward. Yep. But we don't have to be.
You know, I like how you refer to the mind as a battlefield. And I can relate to that because of my military time. I did 12 years active duty. Mm. But explain that concept to our audience.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it really does. You know, as I have tried to boil down where I win or lose the game, really one of the, you know, A, it's in my intimacy with the Lord, and B, it's in my mind. When I let the enemy get hold of my mind, it begins going in directions that it never should, or it begins taking me down these rabbit holes that, you know, I either end up Mr. Prideful or I end up in the fetal position. And again, the battle is in the mind. And you know, you think about, you know, what we are told to do, you know, think on things above, you know, fix your eyes on Jesus in Hebrews, where, again, in Philippians, where, you know, Paul lays out a list of about 8 really good things that we're to focus our minds on.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus knows that our battle is in the mind. And so there's numerous teachings in the New Testament about how we fix our mind on the things of Jesus. And so absolutely, you know, not on earthly things.
Yeah.
And I think that we forget that, and we let our minds get hold. And when I'm anxious, what is it? I'm letting my mind get a hold of stuff that Christ doesn't want me to be thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I've got this. Do you trust me? Do you know who I am? And do you trust me to be who I am?
Amen.
Do you know who you are in me? Live it. You know, I'm forgiven. You know, we are created in his image. We're told that we have the fullness for life and godliness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you and I could go on and on of who God is and who we are in Christ.
Amen.
And what I have found is, when, it talks about taking every thought captive, right? That
right.
We are to take and make it obedient to Christ. And to me, what does it mean, take a thought captive? What does that mean? What does that mean? And as I've really studied that, it comes down to 3 things. And this has been so helpful for me when pride creeps in, or when despair, discouragement, sadness, loneliness creeps in. I do 3 things. I grab that thought. I toss it aside. But then I fill my mind back up with the things of Christ, either going into the scripture or listening to praise music, or just going through scriptures that I've memorized in my mind, seeking God in prayer. That's how we take every thought captive. In my humble opinion, what God has shown me, grab it, throw it away, and replace it with the things of Christ. And when we do that, it's not our circumstances that matter. It's our heart. And again, You think of Paul again in Philippians 4. I've learned to be content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry. So that tells me that our circumstances don't dictate our joy, don't dictate our peace.
Amen.
Jesus does. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when I try to do things through will, me, I mess up. I screw up. I struggle.
It's basically when we're faced with a challenge, you go to one of 2 people, 2 kings, King me or King Jesus.
Amen.
Which one's really going to handle the problem?
Amen. And we know the outcome of both. King me, disaster.
Yeah.
King Jesus, victory. peace, joy. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit, regardless of what things are happening around us, good or bad.
Amen.
I want to learn that contentment in Christ who strengthens me. I want to live that contentment. So getting back to your question of the mind, Paul said he learned to be content. He used his mind to know what Jesus was saying, and he was able to take every thought captive and return it to obedience to Christ. And again, God is the God of our heart. He's the God of our mind. He's the God of our body. And he's given us victory in every realm, in every domain, eternally. And again, you mentioned it earlier about success. We've got to stop living the American success narrative and live the Jesus victory narrative that he has already defined and is true in time past, time present, and will be for eternity. I want his success.
Amen.
And I'm tired of living as a man for the world's success.
Praise the Lord. Now, you know, when we're talking about we mess up, every person, the Pope messes up. I mean, he slapped that lady's hand when she's trying to touch him or something. I mean, you know, every person messes up, even the Pope. Okay. But,
You
know, we can receive forgiveness through Christ. We, you know, Galatians 2:20 talks about this, you know, being crucified.
Oh, amen.
But it's not us who lives, we don't live for him. He lives for us to live in us, through us, so that we can live in and through him. You know, as you're talking about all the stuff you've gone through, that scripture just comes to mind.
So funny that you mentioned that, Bob. I'm speaking tomorrow in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to a group of business professionals, and my last verse that we will be talking about is just that verse.
Amen.
Think about the words in there. I have been crucified with Christ. My old man is gone.
Yeah.
The old man in me is dead. I no longer have to sin. That is dead. A dead man doesn't need to be resurrected.
Right.
But now I live in Christ. Christ lives in me, and so I'm alive. Man, we've got to live there. The old man is crucified. We are free to live in and through and for Christ. Again, for our good, our best, our victory.
Yeah.
Why do we let ourselves get sucked back into this, again, small k, king me, worldview? Oh, my goodness. It's a losing proposition. And so anyway, we have been crucified with Christ. We no longer live. The old man is dead. Praise God. There's the victory.
Amen. You know, people that are dead, okay, they're buried, right? And some people think, well, you know, they're in the, you know, they'll be remembered. A family goes to the gravesite and they're remembered as if they were still here. They're really remembered, other than, you know, like famous generals, you know, Grant and all them, or, you know, or presidents. Go to any graveyard, especially the old one, like here in Baltimore, they got several that go back, you know, several hundred years, and just walk and find someone who died in like 1830 or something like that. Do people still remember them today? Do people still visit their gravesite today? Or are they dead, buried, and forgotten about? And when we die in Christ, the old man dies, that dead guy needs to be buried and forgotten about, because we're now alive through Christ. And it's the living people that can impact the world, not the dead. Your old dead self can't affect anything unless you try and lug that body around, you know?
Amen.
And after a while, it's going to start to stink.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing about it, and as we talk about, you know, the struggles and how we live victoriously in the struggles or the good times, crucifixion is not a painless process.
Amen.
And I think, you know, the American church, we've bought a lie that, hey, we should expect ease and comfort.
Oh,
in
yeah.
this
That's
world a as a believer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But again, if our circumstances don't dictate the joy and the peace we have, neither should our comfort and ease or our pursuit of those. So crucifixion is not easy.
Right.
And it's not pain-free. And Jesus said, hey, in this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart because I've overcome.
Overcome the world.
I've won already. And guess what? In me, you've won as well. And I think of, you know, the first century Christians. Mm. How did they greet each other? They would say, he is risen.
Yeah.
And then the response would be, he is risen indeed. And now we only say that on Easter Sunday.
Right.
This was their greeting for each other. Why? Because the central fact, they were cognizant every moment of every day of his life, and he is alive, and he has won victory. And that's what they kept front and center. And again, that's what you and I need to keep front and center. He is risen. He is alive in me and you.
Praise
and we have that same victory that he had over death, you and I can experience every day, regardless of the circumstance around us, good or bad, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, that they're ours to live in. Let's live that life. Let's throw away the old self that is dead and live for Christ passionately moving forward.
Yeah, amen, amen. You know, I know you're super busy. I know that, but yet you are taking the time to share these experiences with others, you know, other men, right? But that had to be a calling that God gave you. I mean, not everybody can do what you're doing and reach the people you're reaching, but that had to be something the Lord put on your heart to do, right?
No question. And again, it was the summer of 2019 that he made, you know, I've been speaking professionally for a number of years. Mm-hmm. But specifically the summer of 2019, you know, as I had been, you know, sharing the story and working, coming alongside men across the country, he said, Will, it's time to take this to the next level. And it was through the scripture, mm-hmm. through the scripture, in, I think it's first Timothy chapter 4, mm-hmm. Where he says, if you speak the very words of God. And then if you go about a verse deeper, for his praise and glory alone.
Yeah.
And it was
right.
I, that morning, I'm in my time with the Lord, and it was crystal clear. We'll take this to the next level, and what a blessing it has been, Bob.
Yeah.
Again, being shoulder to shoulder with men around the country, speaking to conferences and meeting one-on-one. With guys as well, either digitally or over the phone or on a Zoom conference call.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. He can use it all. So it is absolutely a calling. The Lord has put me into a position that I am able to do this. And like you said, here am I. Send me.
Amen. That's right.
You know, I'm not doing this for financial gain. I am doing this because. I feel in our country that the only answer, I'm a political guy and very involved politically. However, I know my answer is not found in a president. I know an answer is not found in who controls the Congress. The answer for America is Jesus, and we need revival, and it has to start with me, with you, and with your listeners. We need this. We need this focus on Christ and this personal revival. And that's what I feel I'm called to play a small part in. You know, and if one man, Bob, is impacted by what I do, God has told me that's success. Mm-hmm. One man, you know, that's if that's right. it that's success.
One. That's right. You know,
absolutely. So anyway.
One man, there was back in the early 1903 or something like that, back when the cars weren't even invented yet. So everyone was traveling by horse and buggy. This one traveling evangelist out in the, Missouri, Kansas area, he'd go from town to town, set up a tent at the edge of town and hold a revival for a week and then pack everything up and go to the next town. Well, he's keeping a journal and he hit this one town and he set it up and people coming out every night to the revival service, but nobody was coming forward. And he preached his heart out all 7 days. And the last night, he's thinking, well, this is a waste of time. Nobody even received Jesus here. Well, the last night he gave the invitation and one little 7-year-old boy came up named Billy, and got saved. And he put in his journal, that's the only thing that happened this week. What a waste of time. and he packed up, went on to the next town. But Billy was born again. And Billy's name was Billy Sunday. All right. And you've heard of him. And that little evangelist, we don't even know his name. I mean, his sermon that night impacted millions and millions of people down the road because one person got born again by what he said that night. And that one person changed, you know, everything for that area of the country. So one person can definitely make a difference. Well, if someone
right.
go ahead.
And I think in that line, Billy Sunday to Mordecai Ham to D.L. Moody to Billy Graham. Yeah, that's the line from that one evangelist. And as you're speaking, to your audience, God has called each one of us to some place of ministry, to some place of holding his name up high and speaking the gospel or living the gospel. And each one of us have our sphere of influence.
Yep, that's right.
Is my prayer right now, Bob, as we are speaking, that if you're listening to Bob and I right now, God has a calling on your life, and it is our prayer that you answer that calling, whatever sphere of influence, whether it be one man, one woman, or thousands.
Amen. Amen.
Love Jesus, be obedient to his call, and live for him regardless of the worldly cost. We live for our home in heaven. And so anyway, I'm just encouraged by that story of Billy Sunday. Absolutely.
Amen. Well, Will, if someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question, maybe invite you to come speak in an event or conference, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, probably the easiest way is an email, will@willconnect.com. And let me spell, first name is W-I-L-L at willknect.com, will@willconnect.com.
Amen. And what's your website?
Willconnect.com. How about that?
There you go. Go figure, right?
Absolutely. Willconnect.com. And it's K-N-E-C-H-T. Absolutely, my brother.
Amen. Well, folks, we all go through things in life, and we all face adversity. I mean, there's a saying that I heard in the military, and I've often used it in my life since then. It says, success is not really about how high you can go, but how high you can go after you bounce off the bottom. Now, I encourage you to get into the Word, and I encourage you to seek after God and His will for your life. And I encourage you to get in touch with Will Connect. I mean, ask him some questions. You know, subscribe to his blog. I mean, praise God, there's some good stuff on that blog. Amen. You need to get in touch with him. Go down the show notes down below. Use the links to get in touch with him, and you'll be blessed that you did. And Will, I do appreciate your time coming on the program today.
Bob, thank you so much for your obedience to the call of God on your life in so many facets, and to Jesus be all the glory.
Amen. Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Will Connect myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.